Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Today, I am thrilled to welcome a familiar voice to Entree Architect community, Katie Kangas. Has been an active member of our network for many years, the trusted facilitator of our solo architect mastermind at the membership, and the former co-host of Context and Clarity with Jeff Eccles. Katie is also a practicing solopreneur architect in Minnesota, serving communities, churches, and nonprofits by reimagining existing and historic buildings. And now she's launching Flying Solo, her new platform, and a brand new Entree Architect podcast designed to guide solopreneur architects as they launch, grow, and design businesses that truly fit their strengths. Katie Kangas, welcome to Entree Architect podcast.
It was a joy to be with you, Mark.
I'm excited about this. I'm excited about your entire platform. We've been talking about this for a long time. You've been a part of Entree Architect for a long time. First as a very active member, and then you became a facilitator, and you co-hosted with Jeff Eccles on Context and Clarity, another podcast. So you have experience, but somewhere along the line, you brought this concept to me. I'm sure this has sort of been percolating and developing for many years, but we've probably been talking about it for over a year. And so I'm excited to talk about Flying Solo. But before we do that, before we jump into the conversation about Flying Solo, I want to learn more about you. I want you to share your origin story. When did you discover your passion for architecture, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Well, thank you, Mark. It's been a long time coming to have this Flying Solo podcast take flight and leave the nest. But yeah, it all started a long time ago, back in a small town in Western South Dakota. I kind of grew up there, 18 years. My mom was a math teacher and my dad owned a flower shop. And that's relevant because it kind of set up a lifestyle and community focus that I really enjoyed.
So an entrepreneur. So your dad, flower shop.
My entrepreneur dad. So I spent many years of my early youth with my dad making deliveries, visiting greenhouses, or just sitting in his shop. And it was so great because family and friends would just stop by and chat every day. There was always a pot of coffee on. And it was just a small town, relaxed feel that just built community, and family members or friends would walk down from Main Street and have lunch in the kitchen. It was just great. And it's the 90s. So it was a different world back then. But I also grew up in the home that my parents built. And when I say they built it, I mean like my grandpa, my papa, and my uncle built the house because they were carpenters.
Yeah. Wow.
And between them, they built over 100 houses and barns. So I got to walk through some of those structures early on in my youth, and it was so cool. I remember one specifically. My uncle built an octagon house.
Wow.
And walking through the studs and seeing the structure, it opened my eyes to this whole other world that was unseen.
How old were you?
That one was probably 8.
Yeah.
Probably was 8 years old.
Is that the earliest memory that you have?
No. I've got very early memories.
Yeah. Of construction?
Yeah, of my papa being on our deck, building it, expanding it, and just lots of tools around and always building things. It was a lot of fun back then. And I also got to see my uncle remodel a Victorian home in Deadwood. And he painstakingly restored that. And so seeing him recreate some of the spindles and some of the other details of the home were just really fun to see what it meant to be good at a craft.
Yeah.
And to take it on.
So when did you, I'm assuming that you probably discovered architecture and the profession and the idea of being an architect pretty early. Is that true?
It is. And so seeing people building it was very impactful. But then I actually got to travel to Europe with my grandma when I was 12 and see castles and churches and seeing how big architecture could be. And then the next summer, juxtapose that to a different trip, a mission trip to Costa Rica, where again with my grandma, we saw the slums of Costa Rica, where there were these families that were so part of the community and they had so much joy and they took such good care of their children. But they built their houses out of slabs of corrugated metal and plastic, just whatever scraps they could find. And frankly, the toilets just led down the hill.
Yeah.
And so seeing this juxtaposition of how beautiful and amazing the story and legacy of architecture could be. And then the next year, seeing the great need for safe housing.
Yeah.
I just saw that there was this void of architecture that by loving math and art, that I may have the skills to be able to serve people and fill this need as I grow.
Do you remember who introduced you to the concept of being an architect?
I don't, but I did hear about an architect when I was in seventh grade. My seventh grade English teacher, her husband, was an architect. It's like, okay, he works from home and he designs houses. And my uncle, a different uncle, was building a house. And he helped me shadow with a female architect who was working with them. And she was hand drafting. And her one drafter on staff was another woman who did CAD. But I got to in eighth grade then see what it was like in a two-person architecture studio. And she took me to a house that was under construction, again, seeing the studs. She was on site in a suit and high heels. And we got to see the construction going on. And so it felt very attainable. And I thought architects drew all day. And that sounded really great.
Yes, yes. I think a lot of architects are attracted to architecture early on because they're creative and they're artists and they're like, oh, I could become an architect and draw all day. Tell me more about your grandma. What's her background?
She's still around. My 92-year-old grandma, she's a writer living alone in her house in Sioux Falls. And yeah, I got to travel with her quite a bit because she wanted to take her grandchildren on trips around the world. She traveled to the Middle East to do research for the hymns and the plays that she would write. So she's a hymn writer and an author and an ordained pastor in her church. So,
wow, fantastic.
Yeah. She's a fun lady.
Sounds like a special lady.
Yeah. Both my grandmas were very, very active in my young life and very opposite because I've got a grandma that takes me around the world to travel. We went to Europe, Costa Rica, and even to Jordan. I skipped prom and went with her to Jordan. And then my other grandma was always baking cookies and taking us to the park and teaching us how to sew. So it's both worlds.
Yeah, fantastic. What an incredible influence and impact on your young life.
Yeah, it means a lot to have different generations in the same town and being able to see and be around grandparents. I'm so thankful that our grandmas of our girls are here in the same city.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. I have a similar situation. Although I have one set of grandparents, my wife's parents, who are always very close and integrated into our family, which actually helped us practice as two architects. And my parents were sort of nomads. And my mom continues to be a nomad, where she wants to be, you know, up north in the summer and south in the winter. But we used to go and spend weeks with them. And so it was always exciting to go visit wherever they were on their travels. So, yeah. Grandmas and grandpas are an important piece of our history, for sure.
Absolutely. They help us see the world.
So it sounds like the experiences that you've had with your grandma certainly was an impact. And your family, as carpenters and contractors, you grew up in the world of construction and getting your hands dirty and playing in the lumber and the sawdust. And so how did that pursue, you know, where you pursued architecture? Where'd you go to architecture school? What's that story?
Yeah. So when I decided on architecture around like 13, 14 years old, I started looking for programs. And my mom insisted, as a teacher, she wanted a liberal arts education. So I knew I'd have a long path to become a licensed architect. But I found a school that was a four-year degree, and I crammed as much as I could in. I went to Gustavus Adolphus College, studio art, art history, and I fit in as much business and management classes as I could in the middle of that. The school had a great program that if you had a certain GPA, you could take extra credits. And I took full advantage of that.
Great.
And then I had eyed the University of Minnesota as a school that took anyone out of any degree, gave them a summer program. They called it 3+. And then you'd walk out with a three-year master's. And so I had that pegged from high school, that that was going to be my path, 7 years. And it turned into 8, simply because I stayed on for an extra master's of historic preservation. And I taught that year and just did student time a half time during that. So yeah, after 8 years of schooling, I was finally done. At that point, 1 year married and working. And yeah, I worked at 3 different firms before I started my own. But I always had my eye on starting my own business, thinking back to that childhood and how available my dad was to me.
Yeah.
And the kind of relationship that you can have as a parent when you can kind of set your own schedule.
So when did you start your own practice?
5 years ago. In 2000, March of 2000, the day before the pandemic was announced.
I was just going to ask. March 2020 is a very important date.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that work out?
It worked out great. I had been let go from a previous job and thought that that was going to be the trigger to me starting my own business. But being let go is hard on your psyche. And so I actually got another job after that. And it built up my confidence that I could do the work that was needed to start my own business. And so I was put in situations at that large firm that I had never led those meetings that were that size. I'd never collaborated on teams that big before, but I thrived in that scenario. And it's like, okay, well, it can't be much harder to start my own business. And so I thought I'd give myself a chance and I stepped into it. I had found a name for my business, Pask Architecture, and I was willing to take it on. It was a risk assessment as well. You're always weighing the, like, will this work out? What's the worst case scenario? But you know what? There are things I can't learn while I'm working for someone else. And I'm just going to have to jump into it. But to get to that point, I don't like risk. I take small steps. I planned that 8-year architecture track years in advance. So to plan towards my firm, I think I was planning for 3 or 5 years because I thought I needed to know everything about business. I thought I needed a master's in business, but instead I found Entree Architect. And so I had finished my exams. I was waiting to get the right interning hours to get licensed. And in the meantime, I'm like, I'm just going to learn. I'm going to learn what it takes to start my own business. And finding your podcast early on helped introduce me to some of those concepts and some of those conversations that I didn't feel comfortable having with my bosses at the time, because it's hard to be 1 or 2 years out of college and say, hey, I want to start my own business.
Right.
Because they were more competitive and they felt very protective of the work that they got. And so that sort of head-to-head combat attitude was hard. And so finding the Entree Architect platform was love, learn, share what you know. It was so enriching to be able to learn so openly from the different people in the Entree Architect community and just listen to the podcast and learn how to talk about business and the book reviews that you used to do and reading those books and following that advice. It just helped me dive into it and it made it less scary. I volunteered a lot with AIA and that allowed me a platform to call up different firm owners and just interview them. And I did it under the guise of, hey, I'm with the Emerging Professional Committee. I'm a co-chair. I'm going to do this panel for the conference. can I interview you? And I'd get an hour of an architect's time.
Yeah.
And I would bring my questions.
What a great idea.
Hack the systems.
Yes.
And so I got so many good conversations with firm owners, and I was able to elevate the voices of people by bringing them on panels and having these talks about structure of firms and culture of firms early on as I was learning about business before I put anything into practice.
That's awesome. I love that you found Entree Architect just as you launched and that we helped you, the community helped you through that process. When did you start getting more involved, right? Because you've become a leader in our community now.
Yeah.
You're a facilitator at one of our mastermind groups, the Solo Architect Mastermind Group. You were a co-host with Jeff Eccles on the Context and Clarity podcast and the conversations that we had then. When did you decide that you were going to step up and do more?
I think I just showed up and I was present in the community. There was a series back 2020 or 2021, right before Jeff was looking for a Context and Clarity partner again, there was a series of business classes that you were hosting. And I just showed up to those and I engaged and I asked questions and it got conversations going. People were mindful and thoughtful and they recognized the questions as valuable and we had good conversations. And from that, just being there and asking questions, your team actually reached out to see if I would co-host with Jeff. And that was an incredible opportunity because I was already reading all these business books and here Jeff and I get to interview these amazing authors that summer. And it's just great cohesion between it all.
Yeah.
And then when you've been given much and have a very blessed life, it just feels so good to give to others. And Entree Architect has been a great platform to just give and encourage others so that we can all just practice at a better capacity, at a better level.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the mission, right? Is to share what you know so others can thrive, right? And then we thrive because others are sharing too. It's a pretty special community for sure. Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. Gain lessons learned and credits earned with Arcademy, RCAT's continuing education program. Listen to popular episodes of the detailed podcast and earn AIA-approved HSW credits. Yes, you heard that right, HSW credits for episodes of detailed podcast. Listen to an episode, check out the learning objectives, and use what you've learned while listening to take the course. The program is free, it's simple, and can be found at rcat.com under the resources tab, or just go to rcat.com/arcademy. That's ARCAT.com/ARCATEMY. That's rcat.com/arcademy. Please visit our sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. So when you launched your firm, you decided that you wanted to stay solo, right? That you didn't want a big firm. Tell me that story.
Not really, actually. I have a business plan from when I started about what PASC architecture could be because I needed it to be bigger than my name. I needed it to be a business that was bigger than me. And I would just work for it because I wanted an idea that would last whether I was with it or not. So that idea of legacy. And so I hired myself to work for my firm.
It's a very good strategy.
Yeah. But March of 2020, I had actually gotten a grant from Autodesk for software. And I actually asked for 5 licenses, thinking, you know, it could grow.
Yeah.
But with the pandemic, with the flow of work, I was finding enough for me to work. And I was finding a good way to collaborate with other architects. So I didn't need them to be under my same business name. We collaborated as dual organizations, and that worked really well. And actually, I do a lot of that now, where I can be my own independent business, and they can be their own independent business. And we kind of have different goals for the projects that we seek, but we have skills that overlap and can be shared on certain bigger projects. And so that's been a big shift in what I thought my business was going to be. And I still have that plan to expand and take over small towns across the Midwest.
Yeah.
But at this time, even that platform that I was thinking of for my business, it would have been a multitude of small architecture firms that are in small towns, revitalizing historic buildings and main streets and activating with the community and helping entrepreneur architects or emerging professionals go back to their hometowns and practice. And I would have a firm that kind of was a backbone and a support for them and for each other. And so that's still kind of in the back of my mind, but some of that framework is served by just being part of the Entre Architect community.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be necessarily a business relationship at this point. We'll see. We'll see.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
And I would suspect that, I mean, you're very early in your career in terms of your profession. And so, and this is my prediction, that it won't be exactly what you think it is today. But seeds of that and the other things that you do and the things that you have done with PASC will lead you to something big like that. And it may be exactly that, or it may be something different. But the fact that you've developed that plan and you have that dream and you want to impact the world and other architects throughout the country, I think that it probably will happen in some way. Looking at my own career, I am nowhere near where I thought I would be. But I am where I belong. I am where I believe is my purpose. Why I'm here on this planet is to do what I'm doing today. But if I look back and connect the dots of my history and where I've been, it's all led to where I am, right? And so I think that dream and that plan is a very important piece of your legacy moving forward.
And I've found what you've been able to build very inspiring for what is possible, even when we're just doing the best in our own little spaces.
Yeah. So tell me the inspiration for Flying Solo.
Yeah. So I mentioned that I volunteered with AIA, and one of those volunteering opportunities was with the Young Architects Forum. And I would write articles for their online publication Connection. And one year I wrote a checklist on how to start a firm because I was starting a firm. So I just wrote down my checklist and shared it. And then the next year I was like, what article can I write? What can I contribute? What is the hardest problem that I feel architects face as they start off? And I felt that it was getting work. I didn't know how to ask any boss, how do I get work? How do I procure it? How do I secure it? How does this pipeline thing work? And so as I started to write that article, I started to think about different people I knew and how they got work and how they started their own businesses. And I thought of a salesman going door to door, knocking on each door. And boy, that kind of sounded like a woodpecker knocking away day after day. I might have had a woodpecker pecking on my house every day to remind me of this, but it was relentless. And I knew people who were like that. I knew people who loved to talk. They loved to connect. One of my old bosses was like that. He just thrived on it. He could do it every day. He remembered details about people and he would just pick up the phone and check in. But I thought, I am not comfortable with that. That is not who I am. So that's tough. But I knew of another architect who started from one of my first offices by moonlighting. And that reminded me of a night owl. So under the cover of darkness, he would build a client base and do work after hours. And eventually he built up enough work to kind of slowly, quietly start his own business. And so that was a woodpecker and an owl. And I started thinking of other birds that started to relate to these business strategies and thinking of architects who may just pick up projects that are lying around. They're not real picky. Maybe they're a turkey, and a turkey can get very fat on just pecking away at the little things. It's not very glorious. You don't fly very high, but it is a way to start a business and to feed your business. And so that's kind of that developed into an article. And a year later, it continued to grow. And I kept ruminating on this idea of the birds and that built into different ways to think about business in a bird brain sort of way.
Yeah. And so you wanted to take that inspiration of the birds and turn it, well, how did it become a platform? How did it go from an article to this idea that you're going to help architects who want to launch their firms and give them the information that you were looking for when you started your firm?
That's such a good question. As an article, I could have made it very long. And I shared it with a family member who's very versed in business. And I said, is this a thing? Should I pursue this as a thing? And he said, yeah, you've got something here. And so I continued to go forward with it and research it. And I was kind of coming off of other things with AIA, different volunteering things. And so I put that time into ramping up this study and this reflection on birds in business. And it sort of came to life through different formats. I took a marketing class that kind of helped me make a business plan for it. It's a marketing strategy for content creators who are doing things online. And so I wanted to learn that framework of content marketing because I thought it could be valuable to my business. But instead of applying it to my architecture business, I used it as a framework for developing this flying solo platform. And so the Instagram content, the online media presence, and that sort of thing, I applied all that to build it as an online business at the side of my other business. And so that's kind of how it took form. And some of the ideas solidified by writing a story about an ugly duckling, because I felt like I was that ugly duckling, having tried 3 different architecture firms. And I wasn't content enough with their processes not to want to meddle and change things. So I didn't feel like I quite fit in with their flocks. So I kept moving on until I kind of found my own waters and found my own gliding stride in a different pond and found space to fly solo and to find my own path. And so I started to tell the story of that ugly duckling and how it met these different birds that were people that I'd interviewed. And it was a way to visualize how I saw their marketing strategy. And I've always loved stories. I love fairy tales. I love the analogies. I love the animal creature versions of things and the stereotypes. And so it almost started to feel like a modern Aesop's fables in how you can use storytelling to capture these deeper ideas and deeper concepts. But it simplified it and it helped me visualize how different businesses were running so that I could kind of position myself and see, okay, not every business book I read is directly applicable to me, but it has a place in this bigger platform of knowledge and it works for other people, but not everybody. And so on a different level, when I had friends who were like, oh, I love that you started your own business. Congratulations. I could never do that. And I had maybe done a lot of research, but I also am not the most disciplined person. I'm not the best person to be running my own business. I failed terribly at doing my own independent study back in high school. I cannot hold myself accountable. So I had to learn those strategies. So for other people to say, oh, you can do it, but I can't. And it's like, I think you can do it. It just may not look like what I'm doing. And so to find a way to describe that to other people, that just because you see a solopreneur doing it this way doesn't mean you can't make your own business look a different way. And it can be okay and it can thrive. There's not just one solution.
Yeah, I love it. And I am so excited about your platform and your new podcast, because when you start telling stories and you start talking about storytelling, you light up.
Yeah.
You are a great storyteller, and I can see how you love it. I could see how the influence of your grandma as a writer has impacted your life, and I'm connecting the dots there. Mm-hmm. I see the impact of your dad as a flower shop owner and the entrepreneur that he is. It's all making sense. And that's one of the reasons I didn't know all the detail, right? That's why we wanted to have this podcast. I didn't know all the background, but I do know that you tell great stories. And I love the story of Allie and the ugly duckling, which you can go, if you want to go check that out, it's flyingsolo.live/Allie's-journey is the link for that. If you want to go see some stories and some illustrations, I love it. You should go there right now and go check that out. flyingsolo.live/Allie's-journey. You can just click on the menu in the top. So just go flyingsolo.live. What else do you plan for flying solo? You have flying solo right now is at its very infancy. You're going to launch this podcast. You have Allie's story there. What's the future? What do you envision flying solo to become?
With my business, the tagline is story-centered architecture and design. And so even my business allows me to tell these stories and to make space in my life for flying solo. And flying solo has become this space where I can explore through art, through writing, through research, and through developing conferences. And I really love leading workshops and helping other people see their business vision with more clarity. So a year ago, I developed two conference sessions for my state AIA conference, where we were looking at business foundation and how to write a business plan. And that was a lot of fun, but the feedback I got was that it needed to be more than 2 hours. And then the other session I did last year was a marketing strategies. So aligning your marketing story with your ideal client. And so I see these pieces of content as things that I can further develop and offer through flying solo. It can also be a way just to have conversations with people. It's been a great excuse because I work from my home and I've got quite a few kids. It's been fun to use the podcast as an excuse to reach out to people and continue to interview them and ask questions. And that becomes the basis of my research that I can then implement in how I'm recommending people to align their marketing strategies with their business strengths and with their personal strengths and with the life they want to live. And so that's where it's starting to develop into more. It's been an excuse to just connect with other people. And I really enjoy that because it's not just me telling stories. It's finding the stories of other people and sharing those. When I used to write different articles for Connection Magazine, I would have hour-long conversations with people and it would turn into this little snippet in the article. And I thought it was such a shame because so much wealth and wonderful knowledge was shared in this time of interviewing them that I just wanted other people to hear it too. And so that's what the podcast has become, as a point to share these stories and to tie it to a bird so that maybe it starts to become more memorable and applicable to people's own business life or personal life and the decisions that they're making as they go through their career.
So that's the basis of the podcast, is interviews with people, sharing knowledge, and linking in this bird-spiration, as you call it, bird-themed ideas in every episode. Explain that. Explain the concept of the podcast.
It's diving in to specific examples of solopreneurs or small firm owners. And I've been able to find a wide variety of people practicing in very different ways. And it's looking and asking them specifically, what are your strengths and what decisions have you made in shaping your business around the life you want to live? And how has that influenced the type of work they pursue and how they serve those clients to the best of their abilities? And some of them are international firms that are just five-person firms. And it's fascinating to hear the format that they've developed to be able to build that firm. And these are all small firms. And it's to break that stereotype that because you're small, you can't do big. Because you're one person, you can't such and such. It's finding the people who are breaking that mold and really doing incredible things because they've found their own path. They've defined their own business, and there's a lot to be learned from each of those stories.
Yeah. I'm so excited about the podcast. I'm very excited that you've committed yourself to flying solo and to this podcast, because I think that you're going to have a very big impact on our profession through this platform. As we wrap up here, I want to make sure that we ask you the final question, because I think being a practicing architect, being a business owner, talking to many, many business owners in the work that you've done in the past and continue to do with flying solo, what's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
This is going to be really nerdy. I think you should read a book. I've been reading my age in books since being 29. And it was hard the first couple of years. And you know what? Sometimes it's half sci-fi, Star Wars, and fantasy, and the other half is business. But just reading, getting 15 or so business books in a year has just expanded how I think about things. It's made me hungry to learn more. And it doesn't have to be business books. It could be architectural detailing books or just anything that you can find a curiosity and follow through and read into it. It can be audiobooks. It can be whatever you need it to be. But reading has been just a fun way to expand and dive into new areas of knowledge.
I love that. It's such a great suggestion and advice, especially in our world today with so much social media and now with AI, that reading is becoming this thing that you don't even need to do anymore, right? That now you have to choose to do it. And the advantage of doing it is incredible, very impactful in the way you think and the knowledge that you have. It's very different than social media and AI. And so that's a great reminder and great advice. So I want to thank you for being here, Katie. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Katie for joining me here today. Katie has been part of our Entree Architect family for years, and I could not be more excited to officially welcome her as the host of Flying Solo, the newest podcast here at Entree Architect. So Flying Solo podcast is going to be an Entree Architect podcast supported by Entree Architect and the Entree Architect platform, as well as Gable Media. She will also be a member of Gable Media. Season one, listen up, season one is live right now. All 12 episodes are ready for you to binge, and season two is already in production. So Katie's been working hard on this. It's all there. So right now on your podcast app, search for Flying Solo with Katie Kangas and hit subscribe. Make sure you hit subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode when season two takes flight. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. Takes flight. Get it? Okay. All 12 episodes of season one are ready for you right now. Whether you are a solo architect or not, I really think that you're going to enjoy this series. So go listen and learn more right now. FlyingSolo.live is a great place to see it. You'll also be able to connect to it and subscribe to it at GableMedia.com. But FlyingSolo.live is the home of Flying Solo. So go there, subscribe, listen to the podcasts. Katie, thank you for your commitment to our profession for many, many years. You could just, you know, start your practice and go do your work and just stay quiet and not share anything. And you don't. You learn and you share and you care and you love one another. It is an inspiration to me to watch you grow. It has been a pleasure of mine to partner with you on many things with Entree Architect and now with Flying Solo Podcast. I'm excited about this. So thank you very much for your dedication to our community. And I'm looking forward to it. And thanks for coming by here and sharing your story at Entree Architect Podcast.
Well, thank you for being such a good model, Mark. I feel like in some ways I'm echoing what you've done and sharing stories and just helping others. So it is so fun to have this opportunity to work more closely together with this platform that can support Entree Architect, because there are incredible opportunities to connecting with other professionals in the way that you do at the Entree Architect Network.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Go check it out, flyingsolo.live. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
If you liked this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, please share a link to this episode with a friend. Either just click the share button or highlight the URL and send the link to this episode with a friend, because that's how Entree Architect has grown to serve thousands more architects just like you. Throughout the 10 plus years of Entree Architect, that's how we've grown, architect to architect. So I would love for you to share this episode and all the episodes with one friend every week. We'd love that. And thank you to our sponsors for this episode. We don't have an episode if there's no sponsors. So thank you to our sponsors. Links to those sponsors, which you should go visit and click, and all the resources that we discussed today for this specific episode, they are all available at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Every episode that we've recorded is there, entrearchitect.com/podcast. Go click the links to the sponsors and say hello. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. You should go visit that at gablemedia.com. That is the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to select episodes of this podcast, Entree Architect Podcast. Yes, AIA CEUs for listening to a podcast. It's there, and many other podcasts are there as well. and you can listen to all of them and get credit. Learn more about our program, Gable Members Program, at the gablemedia.com/members website. That's gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, join us today at Entree Architect Network. That is the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. If you own your own architecture firm, you are an entrepreneur architect. You are an Entree Architect. With weekly live group business coaching, yep, we have business coaching there, monthly live business training with AIA CEUs, 2 a month, so 24 AIA credits per year, including 12 of those are HSWs. We have them in the membership. Business resources, all the resources you need to run your business, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects just like you. Hundreds of architects are there waiting for you to join. So we provide the support and encouragement you need to succeed as a small firm architect. I know that you haven't been trained as a business person when you launched your firm. That's what we do. Come learn how to run a business at Entree Architect Network. And today you can go join right now for free for 30 days at this link, entrearchitect.com/30days. We'll give you free 30 days for membership. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/30days, and I will see you there. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I want you to remember 3 words: love, learn, share. Have a great day. Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach. By becoming NCARB certified, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses. Learn more today at ncarb.org.